Welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for showing up. We're always so grateful that the Master always shows up. It's His church. If He don't show up, nothing happens. Yeah, I got to tell you a story on a man one time that the Lord sent him to a church to preach. And he preached, and man, I mean, the glory fell. I mean, this guy, he went in, because the Lord told him to go to this church and preach, and so he did. He went there and he was preaching, and man, things were happening, and the Holy Spirit was moving, and people were getting filled with the Holy Ghost, and people were falling out in the aisle, people were getting healed. I mean, just wow, what a day. And so, man, when it was all over, the pastor wanted to take him to lunch. And so the original pastor of that church, so they went to lunch. And so he's sitting there thinking, man, this is a great deal. You know, I love being at this guy's church and see the Lord do all these wonderful things. And he was sitting there having lunch with the pastor when the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go back to your room and pray. He said, Lord, now how many of y'all know we try to rationalize things away when God tells us to do? Lord, I can't go back to my room and pray. I'm having dinner with the pastor of the church, as if God didn't know that. And so anyway, a few minutes later, he doesn't go, and he's still eating and everything. And a few minutes later, the Lord says, go to your room and pray. He says, Lord, don't you know I'm at dinner with the pastor of the church? I'll have to wait till I get through with my lunch first. Surely you don't want me to go right now. So he didn't go. So the Lord didn't speak to him no more. And he went back to the hotel room and he felt so good. He just took a little nap and rested for a couple of hours and set his alarm so he wouldn't be late for church that night. He was supposed to speak again that night. So he got up at the right time. He got all dressed. He went down there and he preached for 30 minutes. And he said it seemed like 4 hours, and it was the worst sermon I ever preached in my life, and not one single thing happened, nothing. So he said, when it was over, I went to my room, and I got on my face, and I said, God, why was this morning so on fire and tonight so dead? He said, this morning you obeyed me, tonight you disobeyed me. Uh-oh. So if God doesn't show up, guess what happens? Nothing. You're absolutely right, nothing. So, Lord, we want to invite the Holy Spirit here today. We realize, Lord, it ain't us, it's you. And we realize that you're the one doing everything, and we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you. We're grateful for all the great things. I think this young lady's got a testimony. Didn't you have a testimony you wanted to tell us? Okay. Now, y'all know we're a healing church, but it's not necessarily always always healing, but you might call it healing. Anyway, tell us what the Lord did for you.
So a little over a year ago, my refrigerator in my motorhome gave out. And so I started looking for a new refrigerator. The new refrigerator was going to cost $1,869. And so I didn't have that money. And the motorhome's 32 years old, so I wasn't going to do that. The cheapest one I could find was $973. Well, I've been waiting for such a long time. Last night, you know what, I'm just going to go and see what I can find. So I decided to get up early this morning. I took the measurements on the size of the refrigerator, and I went to Lowe's and started looking. And I found this really nice refrigerator for an apartment. It stands about this high, and it was $300. So I was going to get it. Yeah. Praise the King. So I'm going around Lowe's, and I'm looking for a couple other things that I need. And the man that fixes my arm, B, walked past me. And, hey, Ken, how you doing? I just keep walking. He says, oh, Lisa, come back here. And I said, hi, how are you? And he said, how's your septic tank doing? He just fixed my septic tank. I said, it's doing great. No problems. He said, oh, by the way, he said, I found a refrigerator. He said there was a man across the way that didn't want RV refrigerator in his motorhome, and so he decided to go ahead and put a regular refrigerator in. I forgot, though, over about 6 to 8 months ago, me and Kim prayed over the refrigerator that I would get a new or used refrigerator, in perfect condition and running order for low or no cost at all. So we had prayed that, like, it was 6 to 8 months ago. And we stood in agreement. So he says, I've got a refrigerator for you. And I'm like, oh my gosh. He says, but I don't know. He said, it may not fit in there. I'm going to have to come and measure a refrigerator. I'm like, hey, guess what? I have the measurements right here. So I put my purse down, gave him the measurements. He looked at him. He goes, it'll fit. I said, fantastic. And he said, it's at low or no cost to you. And I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Oh,
now, Psalms 27:14 is one of my favorites. I don't know what's the matter with me, Lord. It says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Yeah. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He is awesome.
We don't wait very good, do we?
No, we don't.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, okay. Wait on the Lord. Yeah, so it's very difficult as a rule to wait on the Lord. You know, we don't want to wait. Sometimes I'm the microwave guy. I put my hamburger in the microwave and set it on 1 minute, and then I'm sitting there pounding on it saying, hurry up and get hot. Now, I know none of y'all are like me. Y'all are all patient and everything. No, but anyway, I'll tell you something that I had to have patience for. As many of you know, when my wife and daughter were killed in the car wreck many years ago, my granddaughter was 3 years old at the time, and she was also killed. And some of you have never met her. But anyway, she's here with us today, and I'm going to ask her to come up here and stand by my side and let you see her. Yeah. This is a little lady that was killed, but the Word of God raised her from the dead and reconnected her brain stem. It was disconnected, and they said it's impossible for her to live, but it didn't happen overnight. It took time, but now she's 17. You know, and she's my sweet little granddaughter. Praise the Lord. I love her. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, honey, go over and sit down here. That just goes to show you what God can do if you stand on His Word and are patient, wait on the Lord. And, of course, it's, you know, I remember my son. He was there in the hospital with me. And I remember Caitlin laying there with her little naked feet sticking out, and she had not moved or anything, you know, and so I'm talking about the promises of God and how they work and everything and doing everything. And finally, I reach up and I tickle her right in the palm of her little foot right there. And Tim's watching it. And as I touch her little foot, her little toes do this. And I thought Tim was going to run through the roof. He jumped up and screamed and said, Dad, she moved. I said, yes, son, she's going to walk. She's going to run and play again. And the doctor said, I'm sorry, sir, but her brainstem severed, so she'll never. When you pull the life support, she'll never be able to move or talk or nothing. With life support, she'll be able to be an invalid maybe for a long time, but eventually she will die. Well, did you see her? Did she look like she needed any help getting up there? God does an awesome work if you stand on His Word. Now, of course, that's the secret, standing on His Word. You know, I just said, I'm the microwave technology guy. You know, I like to see things happen. I like to pray the prayer of faith, and bam, it happens right then. Is that the way we are, Franz? That's the way we want it done. We don't want to have to wait. But, you know, guess who's in charge? Yeah, God's in charge. You and me are not in charge. He's in charge. So we have to learn to wait on the Lord. So if you'll just learn to wait. You notice she on her refrigerator took her over a year. Yeah. After even 6 or 8 months after they prayed. Right. But she finally got her refrigerator. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes that's the way it is with God. You know, I've learned, if there's anything I've learned in life, just you have to learn to be patient. You know, I mean, just like I know some of y'all this morning, haven't been out here since we got the road fixed as far down as we got it fixed. But, you know, I can think whenever I first decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to start up there in the corner. We're going to pour the first slab, and we're going to start down here, and we're going to go all the way down to the tank, and then we're going to turn, go back up there and start back down again to make two lanes. And I'm going to wait. If I'd have waited for you to bring me the money, I'd probably never got it done. So we went ahead and started. And when we started, people saw we were moving. So, and I told people there, I said, we're pouring a concrete road. And so somebody would give a little money for the road. And then we even had people come out and help us pour the road. You know, men that come out and helped us. So as of now, as you see from the street up there, almost all the way down to the tank, we've got two lanes. And it, you don't have to worry about it being muddy no more when it rains, will you?
Yeah.
So, and so far, up to now, every piece of concrete we've poured, God has paid for it. Every load of concrete has been paid for. So I know that as we get time, and that's the only issue we got now, we've already got a little bit of extra money to pour more concrete, so we're not waiting on money, we're waiting on time. And so we got lots of things going on, and that's okay. So I've learned that you take one thing at a time and do what you can every day and praise Him and thank Him, because tomorrow, you never know what tomorrow holds. Now then, I want all of you to know that, you know, we're just come over into a brand new month, and next Saturday will be a healing school Saturday. So we're going to have a healing school next Saturday, and that starts at 1 o'clock. And I'm excited about this one, because this one and the next one may be unique, because we're in the Smita year. Some of you know what that means and some of you don't. But we're in the Smita year, which I think, if I'm right, ends the 13th of September. And usually something good and something bad happens. In fact, in the last two Smita years, they come every 7 years. In the last two Smita years, the stock market has done awesome things. I mean, the last one, 7 years ago, it lost 777 points in one day. You know, isn't that amazing how that does that? But the one before that, it lost a whole bunch too. So I don't know what God's doing here, but I'm hearing lots of prophets say that this could be the year that the dollar completely falls. Now then, you ever thought about that? What would you do if, let's just use a realistic term. What if the dollar just fell 35% overnight on the Smita at the end of the 13th of September? How would that affect you? If all of a sudden everything that you had, your groceries cost 35% more, you know, your gasoline cost 35% more, if it fell 35%, and so how would that affect you? Are you prepared for something like that? You know, where are you going to buy your groceries? Do you ask God right now when you go out to buy something? Didn't He tell us to do everything with prayer and thanksgiving? Do we do that? Probably not. Probably not. But let me tell you, if we were to have a 35% change in the money value, some of us might not still pray before we go do something. But it wouldn't be long till you would, because you wouldn't be able to get anything. You know what? When you get to a point in life, and I've said this so many times, but if you're walking through life and you're healthy, That's a first big one. But you're healthy. You know, and of course, you know, health to a man or a woman is that's the biggest thing you can possibly have is health. You've got to have health or you don't have nothing. But let's say you're healthy and you're really in good health, and then let's say that your mate is good, your spouse healthy and everything, and let's say that y'all have a nice home. It don't have to be a big home, but to say you got a home. And it's paid for. You have no payments on your house. Or just say your payments are all up to date and you have a good income so you can continue to make the payments. And let's say that your car is paid for or at least the payments are up. It would be better if the house is paid for and the car is paid for, and you got money in the bank, and both of you are healthy and everything. You know, sometimes you don't remember to thank God very often, if that's the case. It's easy to say, I've done this. I'm a big boy. Look how successful I am in life. I have a car, and it's paid for, and a nice one. And I have a house, and a nice one, and it's paid for. And me and my wife and all of our children and grandchildren are all healthy and well. So I say, did you pray over your food at the restaurant when you went in? Over my food? Why should I pray over my food? It might embarrass me, or it might do something, you know. It's kind of a little harder to pray when everything's going good and you don't want to offend somebody else. Do y'all know where I'm coming from?
Yes.
You know, I mean, how many of you, and I don't want to show of hands, when you go into a restaurant to eat, when they bring your glass of water, how many of you pray over that out loud, not caring who's around you? Lord, thank you and praise you for that water. And then they bring you a glass of tea and you go, oh, okay, let's pray over the tea. But we just prayed over the water, but no, we didn't pray over the tea. And then they start bringing you hors d'oeuvres or whatever they bring you, or the food or whatever. And they bring it, and when they set it on the table, you say, well, should we pray over this? We say, well, we prayed over the water and the tea. Isn't that enough?
No,
it's not. That's right. And then we pray over this. And we pray, you know, I remember one year that when I took my son up to a church camp, and I had to go because they had to have a man out of school for every 10 boys. So I said, well, my son ain't going to a camp somewhere with somebody I don't know. I'm going to take a week off and go myself. And so I did. And so when I took those 10 boys, only two of the 10 were Christians. They were just 10 years old, too. So they were, I think, fourth or fifth grade, whatever it was. But anyway, there was only my son and one other boy out of my 10 were Christians. I asked that question right up front. But I told them, I said, now, boys, I may do things y'all don't understand. I said, when we go into the restaurant down there to eat, you know, or the cafeteria or whatever they called it, I said, you get your food and you sit down, and then I will stand and pray over that food before you take a bite. I said, you know, Christian or non-Christian, we're going to thank God for this food. And so we did. And of course, after we did, you know, I pray something like this, Lord, put everything in it we need and take everything out of it we don't need in the name of Jesus. You know, so I believe there's a whole lot more power in being specific over what you pray for than just to give it a shotgun blast and say, okay, God bless our food in Jesus' name. So I'm a little more specific sometimes. But anyway, after I did that a couple of days, every time we're down there, this one lady, she came over there and she said, sir, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, why do you ask? She said, because every meal I've seen you pray with these boys over the food. And she said, nobody else in there does it. Now, the whole school was there. You know, there was a big place, and nobody prayed but me. I'm the only guy standing and praying over the food for these boys. And she says, I never seen anybody do that. I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, well, yes. I said, then what's wrong with you? You know, I mean, I said, didn't God say in his word to pray over everything? I mean, is that the same God? We're all supposed to be serving the same God. He said, pray over everything with thanksgiving. So what do you think he meant? Pray over everything with thanksgiving. See? So anyway, I found out later that lady was a school teacher and one of the teachers. And of course, when we went out on the nature trail, when we come back, she had a deal up there. And when we went to her classroom, she had a deal up on the wall of the monkey, you know, right on up to the ape and to all this stuff. And she's teaching evolution to these kids. Now, this is a woman that just told me she's a Christian. So now then, after we get through talking about this meal and everything, and we go to the class, and she starts teaching this stuff, I told the boys, I said, y'all go back to the cabin. I'll be there in just a minute. So I went up there, and I said, ma'am, you told me in the cafeteria early today that you're a Christian. And she said, well, yeah, I am. I said, have you ever thought about standing before the creator of the universe one day? Do you believe that we're going to stand before him one day? I really think we are. I said, what are you going to say when you stand before him? And he says, you taught all my children a lie. I said, you know, if you're a Christian, you got to know that them man didn't come from the line you're talking about. I said, I was never a monkey. My grandparents were never a monkey. I said, you know, what are you going to do? Well, she said, well, I guess I never thought about it like that. I said, ma'am, the reason you didn't pray over your food is you didn't think about it. And I said, the reason you didn't pray over your food is because you don't spend any time with God in his word. I said, you spend all your time reading something else or reading a school book and teaching evolution, and you're not even conscious of who you are. I said, you're a Christian, at least you told me you are. And I said, so you need to really start thinking about what you're going to do. I said, you need to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Because I said, without the Holy Spirit, you have no power. But I said, with the Holy Spirit, you have power and you can do these things. So anyway, she said, well, I'm required to teach this. I said, ma'am, if I was required to teach something to a group of children that they may or may not believe, I believe I'd find me a different job. I'd do something else. You know, I'd dig ditches or I'd do something, but I'd rather be a ditch digger than stand before God one day and he say, you know, there's 576 children you taught a lie when you were in school. I mean, he'll know every one of them. You know that? But you know that I think that we don't really realize, as Christians, I don't think we realize who we are. When the scripture says, and I've been teaching this the last two Sundays, you have to believe what the Word of God says, and the Word of God says, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become dead to sin. Is that what scripture said?
Yes.
We've been pounding that in you, right?
Yes.
I'm dead to sin. Now then, if I'm dead to sin, that means I didn't sin not one time this week. Not one time. Now then, if I sinned, then I raised this thing from the dead. And that's real easy to do. You all know that?
Yeah.
It's real easy to raise this thing from the dead and do the wrong things. But if you'll remember what the Word says and realize who you are, one day, you're going to stand before the Creator of the universe, and he's going to look you right in the eye, just like he did Howard Pittman. What did you do with my son? Well, Lord, I was a school teacher. That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you if you were a school teacher. Lord, I taught 27 foster children about you. Is that what Howard Pittman said?
Yeah,
I did. Oh, I am so tired of hearing you say, you raised 27 foster children for me. You didn't raise them kids for me. You raised them kids so you could gloat over it. You didn't do nothing for me. Now, how would you like for God to be carrying this conversation on with you?
No.
But do you not believe that he's real? Do we not believe that the King of Kings is real? Do you not believe that he's going to do exactly what he said in this book? I mean, it makes no difference whether you're male, female, whatever you are. If you don't do what he says, he is no respecter of persons, and he's going to either bless you accordingly or he's going to curse you accordingly. And I don't want to be blessed. Do you? Oh, you don't. Somebody was paying attention. I don't want to be blessed, huh? Somebody says, what's wrong with you? I'll take it. Okay, this is the way we should have said it. I don't want to be cursed. Now then, the Lord says in his word, I'm going to set life and death before you, blessings and cursings before you. But choose life so you and your children can live, not death or sin. Because if you sin, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to have to judge you. And judging us will bring forth death. Now, that's why it's so important that since primarily we teach here in this church for people how to get healed and how to stay healed, we do that. Just like the few minutes you spent with Dave a while ago, if you had only remember what he said, only remember the things Dave said, it can change your life forever. But you have to remember, I am a daughter of the King, or I'm a son of the King. I am his child, and I will stand before him in judgment for good or bad, whatever I've done. Anything you have not confessed as sin, I guarantee you'll have to stand before him in judgment. You know, and I don't want to be judged. Do you? I you know, there's so many things in the scripture that's so scary that, you know, if people read the Bible and they just read it like a novel or something, it doesn't seem to scare you very much. But, you know, if you read something like he says in Matthew, this is in the book several places, but let me just quote this to you. It says, the Lord, the master, came to his gardener and says, that tree right there has produced no fruit in the last 2 years. Cut it down. He said, Lord, give me one more year. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me water it. And if it produces no fruit next year, then we'll cut it down. He said, okay, you have my authority to water and fertilize and do everything to that tree. But if that tree produces no fruit next year, then cut it down and throw it in the fire and burn it. Amen. And he's talking about us. He's talking about he clearly says, every branch in me that bears no fruit. In other words, are you a Christian? Are you producing fruit for the kingdom of God? Are you doing something for Jesus? Some people must think, well, it's not necessary that I do anything for Jesus. If I go to church on Sunday, that ought to be enough. But that's not enough. That's not enough. I'm guaranteed that we do not read the scriptures like they're written. Because if we read the scripture like it's written, we could take this scripture of John 15:7. Now, I want us to put John 15:7 up there. I want you to see some of these scriptures. John 15:7, look at this. John 15:7, he clearly says there, if you abide in me. Now, first of all, what does that say you've got to do? Abide. If you abide in me, what does it mean to abide in the Lord? In other words, let me ask this question. If you're abiding in him, let me ask this young lady right here. I'm going to put her on the spot here. If you come to church once a month, is that abiding in Christ?
No.
That's not abiding in Christ?
No.
So, are you a Christian?
Yes.
How often do you go to church?
Every Sunday, every Wednesday night, whenever the door is open.
My goodness gracious, this girl, she's trying to abide in the Lord, is she not?
Yes.
Okay, now, if you're abiding in him, and that sounds real good, and during the course of the week, when you're at home, do you even read a little extra? Oh, my goodness gracious, you're really abiding in the Lord. Okay, now let's look what the Lord said. If she can believe that, and then we have a real problem with that, look what it says. If, this young lady, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what? You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now see, that very verse right there is the verse I use to base my faith on for that little girl sitting right there when she was killed.
Amen.
That's the very verse I stood on. I stood on that verse. I spent years and years and years studying God's Word. I mean, I've spent hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours reading and studying God's Word. And, you know, you read all this and you look at it and you think, you know, if this book is true, I ought to be able to ask God for what?
Anything.
And he hear me.
Yes.
Now, does that mean it may happen instantly?
No.
It could, couldn't it? But it might not. Her miracle didn't happen overnight, I'll tell you for sure. But I've stood for a lot of things that didn't happen overnight. A lot of them have taken a lot of time. But if you stay with it and don't give up, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you.
Yes.
It's a guarantee if we spend time with God. Now then, if I'm not spending that time with God, in other words, let's go from here to John. Let's go up to John 15:2, just right up. John 15:2. You notice He calls us branches. You and me are the branch. So he says, every branch in me. So that's you and me. That's every one of us. Everybody in this room here fits in that. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now then, let's say that just like this young lady here, I really put her on the spot a while ago whenever I asked her, did she go to church? And she goes to church every time the doors open. She's reading the Bible. She's dwelling in the Lord. A pretty, you know, you're pretty substandard, I guess you should say. Not many people do what you do. Not very many. So, you know, you're a notch or two above normal. Yeah, well, I'm serious, you know, but that's what I think God loves that about you. Don't you? I think God loves for you to be there like that because he wants his children to be in his word. Does he not?
Amen.
Now then, if she's spending all this time in the word, and let's say this young lady right here, I happen to know she spends all this time in the word too, but I'm going to use her the other way now. Let's just say this young lady, she doesn't abide in the word. She doesn't study the word. She doesn't take any time for the word. If you're lucky, she may come to church once a month if she feels good, but the rest of the time she's not here. You know, now, if they come down to something and these two people need something from God, and this one prays and this one prays, which one do you think the chances are going to be best that they get their prayer answered? Oh, everybody pointed to her. Yeah, yeah. But that is not the case. I know this girl here, and I know her pretty well, and I know she's like this girl, maybe even more so. I don't know. I don't know her very well, but I know this one pretty well. I've been around her a while, and I know this one's in the Word. Don't y'all know that?
Yeah.
This girl's in the Word. That's why she could pray a refrigerator in for you, right?
Right.
It might have took a little while, but she got it. Is that right?
Amen.
See, so, but if you learn to be patient and not get, you know, too impatient with God, he will do what he says. But in that John 15:2, if we don't abide in him, if we don't produce any fruit, and some people come to church every Sunday. I know people, lots of people, that come to church just once in a while when they feel good, you know, or sometimes they wait till they feel terrible, then they come. You know, as long as they're feeling good. This is why so many people do this. Okay. I have a mate, and he or she's a good man or woman, and so, you know, we go out to eat a lot together, so, and we got our bills are all paid, you know, our house payments paid, or maybe the house is paid for, it's great, and got a nice car, and it's paid up or paid off, and everything, and my kids are all healthy, and she's healthy, and I'm healthy, so go to church. Why should we go to church? I don't feel like I need to go to church. I don't need nothing from God. I can handle this all by myself. Do you hear anything
that's
wrong with
dangerous.
That, Kim?
That's dangerous.
That's dangerous. You think that's very dangerous.
Very dangerous.
In other words, you ought to be saying, Lord, I thank you for this house. Lord, I thank you for my husband.
Yes.
I thank you that me and him and all the kids are healthy.
Yes.
I thank you that we have money in the bank. I thank you that our car is paid off. I thank you that our house is paid up or paid off or whatever. And if you praise him and worship him and thank him, then he'll really bless your socks off. But people don't understand what makes them sick and what makes them live under the curse. Because if you're not, and one of the biggest places that ruins so many people in the church today, and in fact, I just got a really nice letter from a man the other day, and he may listen to this, I don't know, but he may or may not know who I'm talking about. But this man sent me an article on why Christians don't have to tithe anymore. Obviously, some of y'all didn't agree with that. So I read a little of it and threw it in the trash. I thought, you know, I know it was just a coincidence that way back yonder when I was a young man, when I didn't have enough money to make it from payday to payday every week, I was struggling. I was having problems. And then I went to church one day and happened to be in a Baptist church. And I was sitting there in that Baptist church. And of course, they always pass the offering plate, you know, around in a Baptist church or usually. And I remember that Sunday when the plate came by, I saw it coming. So I reached in my pocket and got my typical normal dollar bill out. And I put my dollar bill in the plate. Now, back in those days, I was only making $40 a week. That's all I was making. So I put my dollar in the plate. And then whenever the offering was taken, and he was preaching on tithing that day, and he said, you know, there is some people that will come to church and enjoy all the grace of God and all the wonderful things God give us. And when the offering plate's passed, they'll put a dollar bill in that offering plate. And when he said that, I looked up and he was pointing straight at me. And I'm sure as he was, I assume when I looked up and he was pointing at me, I put my head down, he was probably doing something like this, you know. I mean, he pointed at a lot of people that day because God saw me put that dollar bill in that plate. And he was trying to train me and teach me, son, that's not tithing. $1 is not 10% of $40, $4. And so I went home and he's convicting me. And I went home and I told my wife, I said, honey, we got to put $4 a week in that offering plate. We got to put $4. She said, are you kidding me? We can't make it now. Now, have I ever heard that before? Oh, I hear that all the time. But people say, well, I can't make it. I need a financial miracle. I said, are you tithing? No, I can't afford to tithe. I just need you to pray me in a financial blessing. How many of you know that don't work? It don't work. You have to be obedient. So anyway, we started tithing the next week at $4. Now that was way back yonder in like 62 or 3 somewhere. That's a way back there. But we started tithing right there. And I'm going to tell you, all those years since then, I have never let that fall behind. I always tithe or give more than my tithe. I like to give that tithe, and then I like to give the gifts, the offerings above. And I'm going to tell you that Cheryl knows when she came into my life, when God brought her to me, I was completely, how much money did I owe, honey? When you, I didn't owe nobody a penny for nothing, did I? And my lovely wife, she wasn't quite so lucky. She owed several people several things. And so I, since she was going to be my wife, I'm not even married to her now. I barely have held her hand. We're engaged. But when I told, the first thing I asked her, as all of you know, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you ever bring me another woman, she's got to be a beautiful woman. And he did. He brought me a beautiful one. I think she's the most beautiful girl. And so then I said, okay, I want a beautiful girl. And I said, then she's got to be a spiritual knockout. She's got to be able to know the Word of God. She's got to be able to study the Word with me. I don't want to be unequally yoked nowhere. And then I said, Lord, I'd like for her to be filthy rich. Well, I mean, you know, what else could a man ask for? You know, if you're going to set a standard, set it high, right? And so anyway, when I found out, she was beautiful, all right, and she really knew the Word of God quite well. But when I said, now, woman, I want to see your financial statement, she went and got me a sheet of paper, and these are the payments I make almost every day. She's making some payment to somebody. And this is 15% interest. This is 29% interest. I said, oh, my goodness gracious. So I had money in the bank. I'd saved. I took her and we went down to the bank and I draw out $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, whatever I could to pay off whatever. And within just a very short period of time, I paid this girl completely out of debt. Now then she's been debt free. And I've told her since then, and whenever I got her paid off, I said, okay, you don't spend a dime of money nowhere unless I approve it. We ain't gonna get in debt no more. You ain't gonna buy no more tiles for the floor without my approval. I said, I'm the king of the castle, and you got to realize that. Well, she realized that, and she's letting me be the king of the castle. And I've said yes or no. Of course, you know, the little things that she buys for herself, I don't care about those little things. I'm talking about big, expensive things. So we don't spend any money unless I approve it. So since we do that, and God has given me the ability to manage money, guess how much money I owe today? Nothing. I don't owe nobody nothing. I didn't owe nobody nothing when we got married 11 years ago. I didn't owe nobody before that. But what I would do when I would need a car, when I thought I might need a car in the future, in the next 4, 5, or 6 years, I would start saving money, putting it in a special account for my car account. Then when I would get it up to $6,000 or $8,000 or whatever I think, and I never buy a new one. I just don't do that. You lose too much money. But I would take that money and I say, okay, now, Lord, I got $6,000 in the bank or $8,000, whatever. I need a very nice car or a very nice pickup. And you, What did God say pray about? What?
Everything.
Okay, so if you pray about everything, do you think he wants you just to come in and say, I need a car?
No.
Now, what does he want you to hear? He wants to hear what you want. Yeah, I learned that from that guy in Korea. That he started a church over there, and he told the Lord, Lord, I need a desk, I need a chair, and I need a bicycle to get around. So thank you, Lord, for my desk, my chair, and my bicycle. Well, a month or two come and went, and he had none of it. So finally went, but Lord, I need a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. Thank you, Lord, I need a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. We go along here for two or three or four or five or 6 months. Finally one day he said, okay, God, you know I need this for this ministry. Why are you not answering my prayer? He said, you didn't tell me what kind of desk you wanted. You didn't tell me what kind of wood you wanted made out of or metal. You didn't tell me what color you wanted. You didn't tell me what kind of bicycle. You didn't tell me if you wanted a basket on it. He says, you didn't tell me anything. You just said you wanted a desk. And if I'd have got you one, it probably wouldn't have been the one you wanted. So he said, you tell me what you want. So he told the Lord exactly down to the color, the wood, the number of drawers, the basket, how he wanted a horn on his little bicycle and everything. And the next day, that man, that pastor, had everything he asked God for just exactly like he asked. So when I learned that, I thought, okay, God's not a shotgun blast God. He's a God that wants you to be specific. You know, now another thing he says in there, you know, you have not because you ask not of God. Is that right, young lady? And then he says, and you have not because you ask amiss. You know what that means?
Yes.
Okay, so that means if you needed a $10,000 car and you wanted a $50,000 car, that wasn't what you needed, was it? It's amazing what we think we need, but just like me, when I got $6,000 saved up when I needed my little Ranger pickup here about 10 or 12 years ago, whenever it was, it's a 2002, so... Okay, so somewhere along there. When I had $6,000 in the bank, I said, Lord, I think a Ranger pickup. That's what I think I'd like to have, a little Ranger. And I said, I'd like for it to be a real low mileage, really nice tires. I'd like for it to have a CD player, AM, FM, CD, air conditioning, power steering, power brakes. I said, Lord, thank you for my little Ranger pickup. Well, I went into the web, and I put in a search engine on all those things I just told you. There was a 2002 Ranger pickup, and I told the Lord I wanted low mileage. And so when I looked, I found a 2002 Ranger pickup that had 15,000 miles, almost brand new, you know, 15,000 miles. And I looked at that and I thought, and it was $5,700. And I thought, it had everything I wanted, everything. And I thought, you know, that's got to be a mistake. There's no way you can get a 2002 Ranger pickup with 15,000 miles on it for $5,700. Now see, that's where my faith was. You see what I mean? We find out what we're made out of, girl. You see what I mean? So anyway, I thought, I looked at several others, and they were 99s, 98s, 97s, you know, and some of them were 50, 60,000 miles, 70,000 miles, and they were $6,000, $7,500. And the next day I looked in this search engine again, and I found this 2002 with 15,000 miles for $5,700. I thought, that's got to be a mistake. That's got to be $150,000. Now, why in the world do we have so much trouble believing God? You see where I'm coming from? See, God put the perfect truck you asked for. Did I ask for this?
Yes.
And he put it right there 2 days in a row and let nobody buy it. Because anybody in their right mind was looking for a Ranger pickup, a 2002 with 15,000 miles on it, would have jumped on that just like that. You know, if I'd have thought that was true, I'd have been over there the day before. But I didn't think it was true. I don't believe God can do what he says he can do. You see, but don't make fun of me. Every one of us in here is the same. You know, something that's usually, if you find something that sounds too good to be true, guess what? It's usually too good to be true. But with God, that's not the case, is it? Can God bring everything you need in and then some?
Absolutely.
Yes, he can. So anyway, that next day when I finally looked it up again, I said, okay, I called. I said, you know, do you have a 2002 Ranger pickup with 15,000 miles on it? He said, well, no. And I said, uh-oh, here it comes. I said, so how many miles does it have on it? He said, well, it had 15,000 on it when I put the ad in there, but it now has 15,200. We've driven it a little. I said, okay, so it's got 15,200 miles on it? He said, yes. I said, and it's got a CD player and AM and FM and all that stuff and power steering, power brakes. And I said, and it says here, it looks like a brand new truck. He said, it does, 15,000 miles. I said, okay, what happened to it? He said, well, it was involved in a wreck, a front end wreck, and said it was tied up in a lawsuit for a couple of years. And so finally we was able to get it out of the lawsuit and we bought it and now we fixed it up. And so we just want to move the truck. I said, 15,000 miles. Yeah, he said. I said, okay, so I go over and look at this truck and it's everything he said it was. I mean, perfect. I mean, $5,700. I told the Lord, Lord, I have $6,000 in the bank and I need this truck for under $6,000. And guess what happened? I bought the truck for $5,700. I still have the truck. It has 109,000 on it now, and it's virtually never given me any significant trouble at all. In fact, I think this last year when Mike put a compressor on the air conditioner, I think that's the first, maybe the only thing we've had done to that little truck, I think. I don't remember doing anything else. If you will just believe God when these answer, if you're obeying Him, you can ask for anything. But what if you, I pointed at her a while ago when I was talking about you have not because you ask amiss. What if I'm asking for something I don't need? What if I'm saying, Lord, I have $6,000. I would like to have a nice new truck, you know, a good one, but maybe we could pay the $6,000 down on it and I can pay $200 or $300 a month on it for the next 5 or 6 years. And he might say, that's not what I have for you. I don't plan for you to be in debt. Now then, if this meets a year, if things happen like they possibly could, you know, I don't know if any of you believe like I do or not, but I believe that Rosh Hashanah, which is also next September, is when Jesus is going to come for the church. I believe that with all my heart. Now, I may be wrong, but and it might be this September. And if it is, I'm ready to go. You know, if I'm ready to go, you know. But if it's not, then I'll be waiting for the next one. Because I believe Rosh Hashanah will be the time when the Lord comes to catch away the church. But if it's not, if we're still here after September, October, if we're still here and everything's still going, and if we do have the collapse, now, and I believe something's going to happen in September, October, November, December. I believe something's going to happen. So if you're not prepared for this, and the only way, if you haven't already prepared, it's too late to be prepared except for knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. In other words, if anybody that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, well, again, there's no guarantee that even if the Rosh Hashanah doesn't happen, you know, if nothing happens with the financial world, or do you have a guarantee that you may live tomorrow? No, you don't have that. You know, just like y'all all know that just the other day, my brother-in-law, my sister's husband, he was 91, she was 85. They played golf on Tuesday, and on Thursday evening, he died right there in the house. Bam. You would never know, do you? Do you know when your day's coming? No, he didn't know. I mean, he was in perfect health. I mean, if you go out and whoosh, 91 and play a game of golf on Tuesday, and on Thursday, you're at home with Jesus and never had a hospital stay or nothing. Isn't that something? Wasn't sick, nothing. You don't never know when it's your time to go home to be with Jesus. It could be any time, any second, any instant, but the thing about it is, the only way you can get ready for that is make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yeah, if you walk in love, you walk in love with everybody, yourself and everybody. Don't hold no grudges against nobody. Nobody. I mean, you know, walk in love. If you want to walk in divine health, you're going to have to do it God's way. And if you don't do it God's way, you ain't going to walk in divine health. If you don't walk in love, like he says, I guarantee it will bring sickness and disease into your house. And you do not want to die prematurely. You want to live out your life, but if you want to live with no sickness, you're going to have to live dead to sin and alive to Christ. That's the only way to do it. You can't do it no other way. So, but if you have prepared and you do know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I would think that each one of you should go to the Lord, if you're a Christian, and ask the Lord, "Lord, what should I do to prepare for Smita and Jubilee? What should I do?" I mean, really be serious with God and expect to hear Him tell you something. And He may tell you, you don't have to do anything, you're okay. I don't know. He may tell you that store up a month or two worth of bread and water. Who knows what He's going to tell you to do? But whatever He tells you to do, you need to do it. Because let me just ask you this question, especially maybe some of you guys are single, but some of you are married. If I were to ask you, if you went home today and we had a power outage on the grid of the state of Texas. Now, the state of Texas has its own power grid. But let's say that all of a sudden something happened, somebody hacked into our system, and our power grid went down and all the electricity went off, or that there was a EMP bomb went off overhead Kansas City, about 200 miles up in the air. And if that happens, all the power in the whole United States of America and half of Mexico and half of Canada will be out of power for a long, long time. I want you to stop and think about it. If you had no refrigerator, no running water at the spigot, because if the electricity goes off, those pumps that are pumping the water to your house don't work. Are you prepared for something like that? Do you even think like that? Probably not. But if you don't think like that, I with what's coming, we may go right through this thing without a glitch. But I'm very uncomfortable with it. That's why I'm warning you. I know that I've got water. In fact, our container out here, we have a 2,500 gallon above ground storage tank that we pump water from the ground to the well into this, and that's where all the water comes from for this whole facility. We have our own water, our own well and everything. And if something happened, I even got a generator where I could provide electricity power to pump the pump myself, you know, so I could keep that tank full. But I'll tell you one thing. I've already warned everybody here that if we have a power outage and we don't have water, you can be assured that all water coming to this building will be shut off. There will be no toilets working. There'll be no showers working. In fact, I was talking to some of the girls the other day. I said, "Do you know, just 100 years ago, you know how often a woman washed her hair? How long? Once a month. That's exactly right. That's what the average woman washed her hair once a month. Right now, the average woman with long hair washes her hair how many times a day? At least once a day. You know, we waste lots of water. Now then, how many of y'all have ever had to use, have you ever even heard of a little one-holder house out on the side of the hill out there? Some of y'all have used those, have you not? Well, I'll tell you for sure, if we had a power outage, we wouldn't be long till we'd have a hole dug out there with a little metal building built over it, and we'd have a hole in there. You'd have to go sit on that to use the potty. Because there wouldn't be, you know, and of course my wife, I get so tickled at her. She said, "At least, honey, I'm going to keep plenty of soft toilet paper." You girls all seem to be wanting soft toilet paper. I told them, I said, "You know, let's get the yellow pages. They work fine." And they, "Oh my goodness, I couldn't think about using the yellow pages." I said, "Well, it's better than a rock." Now, some of y'all are laughing, but I was raised up on a farm. And I mean, I was raised up on a farm where we had to use a rock. And some of y'all never did that. And we used to use a Sears and Roebuck catalog, and the pages that's got the slick, they don't work very good. That's why I'm saying the yellow pages works a whole lot better. But I know what I'm talking about. I've been there and done that. Some of y'all are so young and you've never had any problems at all. If we have a power outage or something, you would not, some of you in this room that are young, would not have a clue how to deal with these circumstances. But that's why you need us old dudes, me and Franz. We need us around. We've been there and done that, right?
Done that.
Yeah, Franz just had his 85th birthday last week.
Right.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, so older men, you know, when you take us older guys, and especially men that are over 50 or 60, most of them have lived in the country, but some of you really have no idea what it would be like, the judgment that we would go through if you didn't have the older generation to take care of you, because you don't know how to do these things. You know, so, praise God we have the older generation, and God's going to put us all together. That's why He keeps us all together. But I want you to begin to pray and ask the Lord for a little wisdom and knowledge, or a lot of wisdom and knowledge and understanding about what you should be doing and how you should be preparing for what's coming. I believe with all my heart that this year, before this year's over in December, and I think it's all going to start in September, I think we're going to see super blessings for some and super curses for others. I think the church, the obedient church, God's going to bless our socks off with things beyond our wildest dreams. I mean, just like He blessed her with a new refrigerator, didn't cost her nothing. See, now that's a blessing. Yeah, but she prayed. So, but I believe He's going to do that. I believe He's going to bless us. I believe He's going to, but the cursing part, the part, the people, the children that are not obeying God, even though you're a Christian, you're not obeying Him, you're not going to church like you should, you're not walking in love, and that's a big one. God commanded us to walk in love with everybody. Did He not?
Amen.
And if you don't do that, I guarantee it'll bring sickness and disease into your body, and it's going to bring a premature death into your body. So if you want to live, you've got to learn to walk in love. If you don't walk in love, I guarantee it'll bring forth a premature death. You have no idea how many men and women, mostly women, that Cheryl and I have prayed for over the years, that the only sin we could find was they were not loving themselves. They did not love themselves. You know, isn't that amazing that God commanded you to love yourself and then your neighbor and to love Him, and we don't do that, and to think that would bring forth sickness and disease and death? But it does. I don't want to die prematurely. I want to live a long, healthy life. I love being well, don't you? I love being well. So you really need to really spend some time with God, because let me just ask you a question. How many of you in this room is over 40 years of age? Okay. That air is blowing on me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm standing over there. Y'all ever think about that? The air is blowing over. It's cool over there. Okay, so for those of you that are over 40 and those of you that are under 40, all of you, though, really, I would really challenge you to spend some serious time with the Lord. He's your Lord. He's your God. He's your Savior. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your provider. He's your everything. And ask Him, Lord, am I pleasing You? Am I pleasing You? Yeah, and do we want to please God?
Amen.
I do, don't you? Yeah, I don't even want to think about doing something that doesn't please the Master. But I know a little bit of how awesome God is if you walk in obedience to His Word. You know what I mean? He is such a loving God that if you'll do anything that please Him. Oh, that's what He said in that word a while ago, wasn't it, young lady? If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you can ask Me for anything. You think He can really do that?
Yes,
He can. I guarantee He can. He can do anything and exceedingly abundantly above all you can think or imagine. He can do that. But if you don't obey him, he will not answer your prayer. I mean, just think. If you pray and ask God for something and he does not answer your prayer, there has got to be some kind of a sin in your life, because he promises to answer prayer every time we pray. If we pray and we don't get no answers of no kind, then there's something we're doing wrong that we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. You know, I need to spend more time with you. I need to get in the word. I want to be free. I want you to answer my prayer, because Lord, we're coming up on Smita and Jubilee, and I need to know what I need to do. What do I need to do to be prepared? Because some of you just might be that if we had a power outage or whatever, September, and you didn't have no way to get nowhere, you couldn't go anywhere. I tried to tell some guys up in the Northeast this, a pastor especially. I tried to tell him, I said, you know, always when your car gets to a half, always pull in somewhere and fill it up. Don't ever let it get down close to empty. I said, always fill it up at a half. I said, it costs a whole lot less money to fill it up at a half than it does when it's empty. So I said, always fill your car up. Anytime you get close to a half, pull in. He said, why? I said, what if you had a problem, couldn't get gas? Oh, Thurman, we can always get gas. Well, one day we were up in the Northeast, and he was telling me, he said, well, when we had the storm up there in the Northeast, he said, my car was down almost on empty. My mother lived 30 miles away. And he said, we had the power problem. It blew away everything. I mean, all the service stations were out. All the power was out. Nobody had no water. Nobody had no gasoline. Nobody had nothing. And he said, I needed to get to my mother's to see if she's okay, because the phones ain't working. Nothing's working. She lives 30 miles away and the gas gauge is bumping off of empty. So he said, I get in my car and thought, surely this is only a temporary thing here. So when I get to where mom is, I'll be able to get gas. Well, he drove 30 miles. Now guess where the gas gauge is at? Oh. Ding, ding, ding. You're out of gas. And he gets there and his mama's okay, and they don't have no power in her town either. So now that he's in trouble, he said, I wished I had listened to you. If I'd have kept my car full all the time, I could have went a long way. You know, I mean, in our suburban, if I keep our car full or above half, we can usually go at least 200 miles before I need gas. 200 miles might get you to where there was power. So what I'm trying to say is we all need to be prepared. I don't know what's going to happen, and I hope nothing happens. I really hope nothing happens, but it could happen. And if it does happen, are you ready? Are you prepared? Let me just ask some of you, what would you do? Let me just ask anybody. If somebody won't stand, I hate to pick anybody out. Andy, what would you do?
About what you ended up so far.
Let's just say that today we had a power outage and there's no electrical power nowhere.
I was going to have a talk with you before long anyway about that. A lot of things have happened since the last talk with you about 6-7 weeks ago. I've spent the last few weeks getting a propane generator and a gas generator, making sure I could hook up to the well water pump where I could get electricity to the pump where it could pump the water in case of an outage. Of course, I got my home set up where I can plug into that generator also. I got a line going directly to the propane tanks that runs consistently. Also in that regard, I've visited the Mormon store, which is a real good store for storage food. They grow their own stuff. They got an office up here in a warehouse in Carrollton. Went by there, got some more pails, 5-gallon food grade pails, got beans, rice, dried foods, etc. And put that together also, bulked up, you know, what I didn't have.
How big is your propane tank?
I got a 500 and a 250.
Okay, 500 and a 250. So how long could you keep energy?
I'm estimating if I had them both topped off, probably maybe 6 weeks, maybe even more, maybe with full. Plus that truck that you looked at, I got a propane tank going to my acceptable.
Yeah.
That's part of my plan also.
Okay.
Propane as an alternative.
And let me ask you to think about this. So those of you that are men, you really only need power for a few minutes out of every hour to keep your freezer frozen. So instead of running the generator all the time, which is wasting energy, turn your generator on, plug in your refrigerator and your freezer, and let them run for 10 or so minutes until they cycle off. As soon as they cycle off, shut your generator off. Turn it off. Now it's not running. Now you don't have no electricity in the house, but you can always go get a candle or something for light in the house, right? You don't have to have electricity. We need to. I was raised in a home my whole life up till I was 10 or 15 years old with no electricity. So you don't have to have electricity in the house to live. You know, you can have a lamp, you know, or those little solar lights. Yeah, you can buy them little solar lights out here for $2 a piece or less. And you'll be amazed. One of those little solar lights, you see all, Cheryl put them all around the building here. You can let them set out in the sunlight all day. Then you can bring one in, set it on the table in your house, and it'll keep light in that room all night. It's amazing how it does that. So, but, you know, cut off your power and let your, and then the next thing too, here's what we do. Well, I think, and I see this here all the time, but I never say anything because we got electricity. I think I'm hungry. We got three refrigerator freezers across the wall over there. Let me see what's in this one. Pull the top up. Oh, let's see. Let's see what is in here. Well, no, I don't like that. So let me pull a big door in the bottom. Let me look all down through here. And oh, somebody coming. Oh, Franz, how you doing? Let me talk to you a minute. Hey, the door's wide open. There ain't nobody, you know, we're talking. Finally, 5 minutes. Oh, forgot to close the door on the refrigerator. Any of y'all ever seen this picture before? You know what I mean, right? So your refrigerator's open, all the cold air's getting out. Now the thing about it is, if we ever have this situation come up and we do run out of power, we do have a standby generator and we can keep stuff frozen, when you have to learn to put stuff in your refrigerator or freezer where you know where it is and you know what's in there. And so when you get ready to take a piece of meat out to cook it, if it's frozen, you know that piece of steak is right there. When you open the door, just as little as you can reach in and get it and close that door. Let it be done just like that. In fact, I would challenge each one of you to start practicing that now while we have plenty of energy. Practice. You know, like some people, you'll go off and you're home. So it's lots of people. You'll go off and leave your home at 70 degrees or 72, and you ain't going to be home all day long. So your air conditioner will keep the place at 72. Never do that. Leave it up at 85 or 90 or something while you're gone, where it don't run very much, you know. But especially the refrigerators and freezers, learn how to put things in there and know where you put it. Especially if you live in a place by yourself, or even you and your mate, make sure that you know where everything is. You got it categorized by slots, and you put certain things, certain places. So when you need something, you know where it is. So when you go up and open the refrigerator door, open it as little as you can to reach in and get what you need, and then close it right back. Yeah. You really don't have any idea how much energy we waste every day when we go up to our refrigerator and open the door with this a door this wide. This tall, wide open, and that cold air just coming out. That cold air always comes out in the floor, doesn't it, Franz? That's always fall. So that it just whoosh, just like this. And you'd be amazed how much temperature and cold air you lose in that room. And people don't even, in fact, some people go up there and they cool in their feet and they like it. So they're just sitting there with the door open and the cool air flowing down on your feet, not even thinking what you're doing. Now then, if you had no electricity to replenish that, you'd be in big trouble. So it wouldn't be long till you would have nothing. And, you know, if you've never been hungry, I bet you there's not anybody in this room really ever been very hungry. You know, I mean, because you're God's children. Most of you, just like David said, he said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the Lord's children begging bread. Now, I believe with all my heart that God will protect us. He'll provide for us. But I think he gave us a brain and he plans for us to use it. Don't you? Yes. So I would challenge you when you go home, especially you ladies. You know, if your husband, if you're the one that does all the cooking in your house, sometimes it's the husband, but usually it's the lady. But whichever one of you do the cooking, make sure you get it in a habit of never opening the refrigerator door, backing off and looking in there for 5 minutes to see what you got. Know what you've got, so when you open that door, open it just a little bit, reach in and get what you want, close it back up, and see how much extra money you can save. I'm telling you, you can save a lot of money. You know, I mean, if we don't have the money, I'll just give you an example. If I had a baked chicken in the refrigerator, and I had some potatoes and whatever, a few little odds and ends things, for a mere little $3 or $4, I can feed 3 or 4 people. Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
Yeah, sure you can. If you know what you're doing, you know how to do it. A woman that's thrifty, that knows a little bit about how to do this, you can feed 2, 3, or 4 people on $2, 3, $4. You really can. Just like I used to when I was in the service or working for the airlines, I always would get me a great big box of cereal back in those days. For $2, you could buy a huge box of cereal back in those days. And for another $2, you could buy a gallon of milk. Every morning, I could have a huge bowl of cereal with a little milk in it, and I guarantee it didn't cost me a quarter, you know, for my breakfast. Now, if I stopped at a restaurant somewhere and had anything, going to cost me $4, $5, $6. You ain't going to eat for a quarter. But you can't go to a restaurant, even a fast food restaurant, and eat a hamburger and order fries for less than $6, $7, or $8 anymore. I mean, it just costs you a fortune. So you might ought to start practicing between now and Rosh Hashanah and see what you can do and see how you can save money, see how you can categorize your refrigerator and freezer, put things in it. Just practice. It can't, if this nothing happens, you're not going to lose anything. It's just going to make you more conscious of the money you're wasting. It really is. You know, I mean, we waste so much money in America, it's unbelievable. You know, I remember here a while back, Jeff taught us in a healing school. I believe I'm right. He said only 5% of the people in the world have hot running water. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you in this room have hot running water at home? Okay, let me ask you it again. Who in this room does not have hot running water at your home? Oh, wow. You see what I mean? So that's a standard for us, right? Everybody's got hot running water. Everybody's got cold running water. Well, what if you don't have it all of a sudden? What are you going to do? You're going to have to learn how to do things totally different. Totally different. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next few weeks, but I believe something is going to happen. In fact, you know, with everything that Obama's doing, that's setting up the world to receive the Antichrist, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're there. You know, and you believe that too, do you? Yeah, I believe that we need to be practicing, getting ready. And if we're practiced up and we're ready, some of us are going to live through this if the Lord don't come and catch us all away. And he may do that. And then he may not do that. He may let us go through some of it. You know, I mean, just like Hitler. When Hitler came in, did a lot of Christians have to go through that?
Yes,
they did. And a lot of them died. And a lot, millions of Jews did the same thing. So I don't know what he's going to do here, but I would just like to tell you to get ready. And the most important thing of all is make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
If you know him, and then if you get killed or get your head blowed off or cut off or anything else, because I have read that part where he says, and who are these, Lord? These that are under the throne, these are those that were beheaded for Jesus.
Wow.
Do you want to be beheaded?
No,
not really. But if I know Jesus and I get my head cut off, I'm still going to win, right, young lady? I'm going home to be with Jesus, so I don't want to. I don't want no other way. So I would challenge each one of you between now and the next end of this month. We got a whole month to start categorizing things in your refrigerator, your freezer, putting them in there, keeping your refrigerator and freezer at the right temperatures like they're supposed to be. Open them as little as possible. See how often. Or see how many times you can just run up or know what you want. When you open that door, reach in and get what you want and close the door real quick. And see it's going to better everything for you, I can assure you. Your electric bill's going to go down. And just think, can you imagine? I've done some figures on this here a while back on a propane tank. If I run a generator on a propane tank and I run it only 15 minutes and then I leave that refrigerator and freezer shut and I don't open it, you don't. Sometimes it won't come back on for an hour to an hour and a half, maybe longer. Now then, if you go up there and open it, say it just cycled off, and you go up there and open it, stand there and look in it for a minute, it's going to cycle back on. It's going to come back on. Whereas if you had not opened it, it might not have cycled back on for an hour and a half or 2 hours. Now then, if you have to run that thing 15 minutes every 2 hours, and you do that, you can keep a freezer full of stuff cold for a long, long time if you've got a 500-gallon tank of propane. And if you don't have, you know, then you're gonna have to figure out some other way to do this. But all I'm saying is prepare, you know, because we don't know what's coming, but I think something is coming, and I believe it's just around the corner. Anybody else in here besides me believe we're fixing to undergo something like this? Wow, there's a whole bunch of you, so.
Sherman, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir, certainly.
If, in fact, we did have an EMF attack, would any of that work? Would any motors at all work?
Yeah, sure. Everything that's not digital electronics would work. Yeah, you can. I mean, I got pickups and trucks and tractors. I mean, you take a diesel tractor, you know, that just runs on pure diesel. It don't have nothing electric to it other than the battery to start it. Yeah, they'll run. They'll work.
Was that after an EMP?
Yes, that's after an EMP. Yeah, now if you got anything that's new, I say in the last, Mike, how many years? 20, 30 years? They all, something like that, right? Everything in the last 20 to 30 years has got digital electronics on it, right? So if you have an EMP attack, none of that works, right? Not unless you got it shielded.
Right.
So now something else I've been thinking about. In fact, I may do some research on that this week, and maybe next Sunday I'll try to have some information for you that we need to know how to shield our vehicles.
Yes.
Because if we know how to shield them, then they'll run. After an EMP. An EMP is an electromagnetic pulse. It happens almost instantly and then it's gone. It does all of its damage quickly. You know, like that, the neutron bomb. The neutron bomb, you know, it is a special bomb that when it goes off, it destroys no buildings. Doesn't destroy a single building, but it destroys flesh. And that's the plague that Zechariah, Jeremiah, whichever one it was, said, and this is the plague that will come upon those that come against my nation Israel in the last days. Their skin, their eyeballs will consume out of their sockets. The skin will consume off of their flesh before the bones hit the ground. Now, when that was written, nobody had any idea what they were talking about. But now we know what they were talking about. They're talking about a neutron bomb. That's exactly what a neutron bomb does. If a neutron bomb were to go off anywhere in the area for miles and miles and miles around, everything that's flesh, there wouldn't be nothing left alive. It just consumes all the flesh. And of course, that's written in the Bible, you know, that this is the plague that will come upon those that come against Israel. So I think those will happen over there. I don't think that'll happen here. But the thing about it is, worst case scenario, if it does happen here and we're Christians, we can only die physically one time. And you won't even feel it. You won't feel a thing, you know. So Daniel used to get excited. If it's God's will for us to go out in a burst of glory, I'm okay with that, Andy, aren't you?
I thank you every day.
Yeah. Every day. Every day the Lord gives us to live, we need to pay attention that we're loving Him, serving Him, about His business, and thank Him for every day He gives us, because we have no guarantee that we'll have another one, do we? You know, so we need to praise Him and worship Him and thank Him for everything He does, and then just press on. And if this does happen, and He might just bless the socks off of a bunch of us. You know, I don't know what He could do, but I know He can do it. I know He could bless us with anything, you know, protect us. Who knows? I don't know what He's going to do, but I don't know. But all I'm trying to say is I want you to be prepared and start practicing up on some things, getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Because I believe, don't you really think that Jesus would want us to be thrifty with everything he gives us anyway? Not be wasteful just because we got it. You know, I think about all the people in the world. You know, I was looking at I forget now the name of the program, but they were feeding these children down in Haiti, and they were talking about these little packages are about that big. $8.40 for a package of that food, and they said they would feed 215 children. By putting that in a pot with water, it expands with all the nutrients and everything you need to feed 215 meals for $8.40. That's cheap. Yeah. You know, I've never been able to do that. You know, but so I think we need to learn how to do that. You know, anyway.
So, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am.
It's true that if an EMP bomb goes off, it shuts down the satellites, and the satellites run all of the cash registers, all of the gas pumps, and everything like that, correct?
No, an EMP, I don't think will shut down the satellites. I don't think that. I think they generate their own power. But it'll shut down everything that's on this end that receives information from those satellites.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the EMP will have any effect on our satellites.
Can you tell them about what happened with the Luma in Virginia that time when they had an electrical outage? What happened? That's what she's asking. It's shutting down gasoline and all that stuff. You know.
Yeah. I mean, if we have an EMP attacked, it depends on where it's at. You know, but over Kansas, if we were to have one at 200 miles up over Kansas, it would knock out power all over the entire United States. There would be no power on nothing. You know, I mean, gasoline, the pumps wouldn't work, you know, nothing will work. You know, your car won't run, nothing. So unless you happen to have a real old car, if you got a real old car or a real old diesel, you know, the newer diesels that got digital electronics, they won't work either. But the old ones that are run all mechanical, and some of those are still around. Some of the old ones, you can still have transportation to get around. But just think, how are you going to get around if there were to be an EMP? There's millions of cars on the roads all over here.
Yep.
If 95% of them stop, the other 5% is going to be stopped too, because you can't get where you're going. You can't go nowhere. So, you know, I don't know. What do you think? Think we need to get ready? Trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. That's a good word right there. Question.
I was watching a program the other day, a news special, about how much control somebody can have over your vehicle. They had a test vehicle. They had a lady driving the vehicle.
Yeah.
And they had this person not even close. I mean, completely 100 miles away from a computer. And he was steering the car the way he wanted it. She was trying to turn the car and vehicle this way, and it wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
He was steering the car.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
How much control they can have.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, this happened to me, not just hearing something like that, but I went up to a man's office here a while back, and a lady pulled her car in up there with her son, and he drove it in and parked it. And whenever we started to go out to leave, his car wouldn't start. It would not start. And so we thought, well, something wrong with the starter. And so I called Mike. Mike told me what relay to jumper to see if it's a starter. I jumpered that relay, and it just started right up. And I thought, wow, that's something. So I said, what happened? He said, something happened in the ignition switches somewhere. He said, I showed you how to bypass that to go around it. So I said, okay. So we drove the pickup down to the shop, and we parked it down there. And about an hour, a guy comes up he comes up in a wrecker, and he's hooking on to this car. And I says, what are you doing with this car? He said, well, this car is a little behind on a payment. This last month, nobody made the payment on it, so we're taking. I said, how did you know where it was? He said, it has a GPS system on it. It's hooked up with a dealer, and the dealer knows exactly where, and said the dealer's the one cut it off, so you couldn't drive it. Then after you all figured out how to make it start, they sent us out to tow it in. That happened to us. I had that really happen. So you think that you think they can't take control? I guarantee they can take control of your vehicle. You know, I mean, these newer ones, it is absolutely amazing what's going to be in the end days. And so we need to start getting ready for this. We need to be prepared for this. We need to have a little food and water. You need to learn how to be as self-conservative as you can, what I'm trying to say, because if I ever seen a bunch of people in America, we are not conservative. Do y'all realize? You don't even realize how unconservative you are. You know, if you wasn't raised up like me and Franz, where we had the little outhouse and we didn't have no power running in the house. Yeah, if you was like me, you didn't have no running water in the house when you was a little kid, did you?
No.
No, see, I didn't either. You know, so, you know, if you wouldn't know what to do. If you walked up to the sink and turned it on and the hot and cold water didn't run out, you think, what is this? You say, I have to go out to the well and pump the pump to get it to come up. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say thank you because you are one of the few pastors that's saying anything about prepare.
Yes.
And this morning at a church in Irving, that pastor taught on the end or the beginning. And he's saying not all of what you said, but the main thing is be ready.
Amen.
Be ready.
Yep, I think this is what we're all about. We're all supposed to be a family.
Amen.
You know, we're the family of God, all of us. And we want to be working together. We want to know how to do things. That's why in this room, there is men that have knowledge and wisdom to do things that other men can't do. So, but all together, we're one body. We can do a lot of things. If we had us all together, we could do a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen. You know, one of us might not be able to do everything, but together we can do everything.
Amen.
You know, yes, ma'am.
What do you do if the harp shoots down here?
What?
HARP, the harp. Weather. There's 700 down in the United States, throughout the world. And when those cars all stop down in Albuquerque or somewhere down there, all shut off, HARP gets it.
Oh yeah. Oh, they have so much sophisticated equipment.
Oh, this has gone on for
years. Yeah, I know. But the other day I was listening to some information being presented, and something I was amazed at, this new laser machine that they've got. You know, used to, this thing was huge. You know, Reagan wanted the laser to put on the satellite, you know, so we could shoot a rocket or something that was coming over here. But and they probably did all that. You know, they told us they didn't, but I know they lie a lot. But they probably did that anyway, but I do know that they had a laser machine that it took a big truck to carry this thing, and it would, I forget now how far it would go, the range was like 12 or 14 miles when it was so big, but that's a long ways. But the new one that I was just reading about the other day, it now has a range of 22 miles and it only weighs about 600 pounds. And that thing, if they point it anywhere and it hits you, it kills you. For 22 miles, that thing destroys everything it touches. You know, so they've got things that's beyond our wildest imaginations. I mean,
there's no shielding from that.
Do what, ma'am?
There's no kind of shielding from that. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in your house or whatever.
Oh, yeah. They'll try to do everything. You know, but the thing about it is we have something they don't have, and that's the Holy Spirit. You know, so if you haven't asked the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, in fact, I would recommend that every day.
Amen.
Lord, fill me, fill us with the mighty Holy Spirit. Put the spirit of love, joy, and peace in us so we can walk in love. Because if we can walk in love, we can walk in divine health. We don't have to be sick. I have learned that through the Scriptures. As long as I walk in love, I don't have to be sick. You know, when I get out of my love walk, now you're going to find not a lot of people agree with this, but it's the truth. When you get out of your love walk, it can make you sick. Can it not, Franz? It can. So I don't want to be sick. Do you? I want to walk in divine health. If Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease, I'm going to let him keep it, and I don't want it. And he did that. Dave just told you that a while ago. In fact, I just happened to think we got communion to take, and so I guess we better do that. Let's go. Y'all go ahead and get the communion, and we'll pass it out. Yeah, today was a little bit different service than we've ever had before, but I just felt like I needed to give you a little bit of warning. Obviously, somebody else is doing that too, Miss Jackie. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen. I think there's so many things going to happen. The Lord told us to occupy till He comes. And so I don't know when He's coming, but I know He's coming.
Amen.
And I know I'm going to be ready when He comes. How about you? Are you going to be ready?
Yes.
Yes, by the way, we invite you to be a partaker of the Lord's Supper with us. The only requirement is that you're a believer in Jesus. We want you to be a believer in Jesus Christ, and then we want you to partake of the bread and the juice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
You can take communion as many times as you want a day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, there's no requirements. As often as you do this, He says, do this in remembrance of me. Yeah, I'm in fact, I would say if you are sick and you're having a problem, I would say taking it several times a day. Yeah, but make sure you repent every time before you take it. Say, Lord, I repent and I'm going to walk in love. And that's when it'll work. So you need to walk in love and need to repent. And so who knows what the next few months is going to hold, but I think we're getting very, very, very close to something happening. I just don't know what it is, but we're close. Is everybody ready for the Lord's return?
Yes.
I'm ready. I'm ready too. Lord, if He comes and takes us all away, I'm ready. If He leaves us here, I'm ready. I'm going to be about His business. A man asked me a question a while ago. He said, I got to ask you a question. He said, if there was a load of terrorists coming up your driveway that was well armed, he said, what would you do? I said, I would shoot back. That's what I would do. He said, so you wouldn't just lay down and let them run over you? I said, absolutely not. When I went to Vietnam, I didn't lay down and let them run over me over there, and I was in somebody else's country. Over here, I'm in my country. If I have to fight to defend this country, I will. Whether I use prayer to do it or physical force. I'll do whatever I have to use. Do what, brother?
I said, Scepter 5.
Yes.
I was there in Vietnam too, sir.
Oh, you was over there too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, we fought for our country in Vietnam. I came back in 65 when I came back.
I went over in 66.
Okay, you went over the year after I come back. So it's a terrible thing. War is a terrible thing. I hate war, but there's been war on this earth ever since we've been here.
One other thing,
what's that, sir?
You're talking about survival, it brings back a lot of Vietnam experiences for me. One of the things you can do is you can take water out of a lake or water out of a river and put a drop of iodine in it and let it set for a season and drink it. It kills everything in that water.
Yeah.
You know that. But they don't know.
They'll have to learn it from men like you and me. When that day comes, and just like boiling water, you know, it's okay to boil water if you got it, if you got something to boil it. But something Cheryl and I just learned the other day, don't boil the water over and over and over. Did you know that? I didn't know that either till the other day. It said when you boil water, like a tea kettle or whatever, when you boil it and make a cup of tea and you pour your one cup and leave the rest in there and then you come back and you heat it and boil it again, what did it do to that? Yeah, it caused some kind of a problem inside the water that could kill you. Yeah. Is that what it is? Yeah, so anyway. I don't know. Peggy, what happens to water when we boil it over and over and over? Okay, the floor. Does it hurt anything to boil it over and over if it's just plain old well water, don't have nothing in it? Okay, so if it's got fluoride in it, in other words, most people that live in a city tap, you got fluoride.
Yeah.
So don't boil it over and over. Boil it one time and then throw it out. If you have boil more than you have, more than you need, then throw it out, you know. So, but it would be nice. Are everybody served?
Not quite.
Not quite, okay. Yeah, we may all have to learn a few things. You know, we'll just have to see what happens, but get ready. Jesus is coming again. But this is the most exciting time really in history for those of us that are walking obedient to his word. You know, he's going to bless our socks off, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's going to be great for all of his obedient children. God's not coming to harm us. He's coming to bless us. And so let's be ready when he comes. Make sure we're doing something good for Jesus. Make sure, in other words, there's only one thing I know every one of us would like to hear when we look him right in the eye. Hey, well done, faithful servant, huh? Is that what we want to hear?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I want to hear, I guarantee. Well done, faithful servant, because he's going to judge all of us. And I know it's something. So, but we want to get ready because he is coming again, praise the Lord. And who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But it's the beginning the beginning for the church. I mean, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have such, I have so enjoyed living and seeing the Lord set people free and healing the sick and casting demons out of people and seeing him do all the things we've had the privilege to see him do. I don't mind telling you, life has been fun. Life has really been fun. Has it not?
Yes.
Amen. So are we all passed out now?
We're ready.
We're ready. Well, Father, we look at this little piece of bread and we thank you that this is a representation of the body of Christ where he was beaten and bruised and pierced for us. And we thank you for this, Lord. And because of you, what you did, we don't have to be sick. So we take this believing that we've repented of all of our sin, so we're not going to be sick. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread. And then the blood, the most powerful thing in the universe, the blood of Christ. Lord, we thank you for the blood. Wow. The blood that set us free. Thank you, Lord. Because of the blood, you destroyed you destroyed the works of the devil, and you've given us all power and all authority over him. And he has to be subject to us. In Jesus' name, we drink the juice. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, get ready. Get ready. And I mean, only thing I can recommend is that we get closer and closer to the Lord. Spend more time with him in his word. Have a closer walk with him day by day. And then I guarantee you, he will show you what to do to prepare for what's coming. In fact, one of the ladies the other day, I won't tell you who she was or nothing, but this lady was having all kinds of troubles, and she prayed and said, Lord, what do I do? And guess what the Lord told her? Come see her pastor. And so she did, and I was able to help her take care of all of her problems. Saved her life. Isn't that amazing? When we pray, what does God do? Does he take care of us? Sure he does. Yeah, he's a good God. He wants to bless us. He just wants to help us and do such wonderful things. But, you know, let's walk in love. Well, y'all promise me this week you'll say at least once a day, I am dead to sin and I'm alive unto Christ. That's what the scripture says. When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we became dead to sin. Now, young lady, if you were dead to sin, how much sin can you do? None. Is that right? Not any. So that's what we should say. I'm dead to sin. Every time that thing we call our beast, every time this thing starts to rise up and say, I don't want to do that, you have to say, I'm alive here. You're dead. Get down. Make him get down. Right, Kim?
Absolutely.
Drive him down. Beat that flesh. Because if you don't, it'll whip you.
That's right.
Wow. So, okay, now my prayer team. My prayer team, stand up. Everybody see whoever's standing now should be a prayer warrior. Okay, yeah. So if you need to be prayed for after this is over, after we close in prayer, you can get with one of these prayer team members and talk to them, and they'll pray with you, or Cheryl and I will be up here in front. We'll pray with you, and we'll get your problem taken care of. Father, We thank you and praise you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us with knowledge and wisdom. You're showing us that you're coming again soon. We know it's soon. We just know you're at the door. And thank you for preparing us and showing us what to do. And Lord, we thank you that you're using us mightily to warn other people that they need to get right with you and get right with God. Lord, so that if you do come this week or next month, you'll be ready. It's going to be fine if you're ready. So, Lord, thank you for showing us and helping us get people ready. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for everything. Now, Lord, I ask you to fill everybody in this place with the mighty Holy Spirit, just like you did on the day of Pentecost. I ask you to bring the Holy Spirit into this place. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. I ask you to even put those tongues of fire on our head, like you did back in the days of Pentecost. Lord, fill us, fill us, fill us with the Holy Spirit and power. Because you said, if we have the Holy Spirit, we'll have the power to go out and witness and to heal the sick and to do all these wonderful things. So, Lord, our desire today is to be full and filled every day with the mighty Holy Spirit so we can be used of you to do great things for your kingdom. Thank you for your filling power. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Yeah.